a bucking horse.
What? Hello and welcome to Rancor's Brothel, issue number 23-ish. I'm your co-host, Matt.
I'm your co-host, Dustin.
And with us today, we have two guests, the Grady family. Can you introduce yourselves, guys?
I'm Ambrosia Grady.
And I'm Cody.
And they actually have a really cute story. Can you, like, how long have you guys been together as a couple?
Since eighth grade, so 11 years? 12 years? I don't know. Can't
depends
do
on how much you count.
So, it's, I don't know, I just always think it's cool when you see somebody like that that's been together forever.
That's really awesome. You're not like high school sweethearts, you're elementary school sweethearts, right? No.
Middle school. Yep.
Middle school depends on how you fight it.
Mm-hmm.
So, very cute. Guys, before we get to our meat and potatoes, our major discussion topic of the day, the reason why you're here, we have a couple of segments that we like to do every week. So, Dustin, why don't we get started with your favorite thing in the world?
Sushi?
Guest questions, Dick.
Oh, guest questions. Okay. Well, see, guests, we like to ask a couple of questions that we ask every one of our guests, and then we also ask a random question, typically come up with on the spot. Our typical questions are, what are your favorite superheroes, and if you could have a superpower, what would it be and why? So I'll let you guys handle who starts.
Ladies first.
We're putting you on the spot because we didn't tell you this ahead of time.
Oh, yeah.
And for the record, Cody has a comic buying habit worse than mine. And I've actually known people addicted to cocaine that spent less money.
That's probably true.
So, yeah. Like, he has to save up when the annuals come out. Like, that's how bad it is. So, what do we got there, Ambrosia?
Well, I'm nerdy, but I guess I'm not, I don't know. So I guess I would probably say the Hulk.
Ooh.
Okay.
He is a big one. I love me some Hulk. I cannot watch the Avengers movie without, like, tearing up at that point when, he says, that's my secret, Captain. I'm always angry. And he just turns and hulks and punches that thing. God, I fucking tear up like a little girl who skinned her knee, man. I can't. I if you go to my Netflix, because it's on Netflix now, like, every time you click on it, it's right there at that scene, because that's all I turn it on for.
Wow.
I know. It's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. So what power would you have, Ambrosia?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. Maybe mind reading. That would be kind of cool.
Now, would you be like Edward Cullen, where you can't shut it off, you just hear everything all the time?
I don't know, because I was going to say it would be hard, because I don't know if I'd want to hear everybody's thoughts, but yeah, I guess it would be better if you could turn it off.
I think Xavier seems to always be able to shut his on and off. At least they've never really explored the concept that I'm aware of, that he hears everybody all the time. So, because he always asks permission before he reads somebody's mind, as I recall.
So, unless he's being a jerk.
Yeah, unless he's just being a complete asshole. Cody, what about you? Who's your favorite superhero?
Oh, I'm a big Batman fan.
Love
I just say from which I mean everybody says Batman, I think, but that is my first film memory. I would say I believe I was when Batman Returns came out. I might have been 5 or 6, somewhere in there, and like I distinctly remember my father taking me to that movie. So ever since then, Batman.
Very cool.
That's a fun memory.
I like Batman Returns better than Batman, to be honest with you.
It's a good call.
And like, I get a lot of shit for it because nobody I talked to liked Danny DeVito as the Penguin, and I thought like that was that's perfect fucking casting.
It really is.
Like, in my head, when I read a comic book, I see Danny DeVito in the Penguin role.
Oh, yeah, it totally. If you look at comics, I think, in my opinion, if you look at pre-Batman Returns, the Penguin is visualized very differently. But you look after that, mm-hmm. and he's always much shorter and fatter.
Yeah, and, like, mm-hmm. the thinned hands and things.
Exactly.
Dude, I got my birthday was this past week, and my parents and I were at a garage sale, and there was this bag full of comic books, and the guy said $5. And so my parents were like, oh, okay, and they bought it, and they took it home, and they didn't let me have it to my birthday, which was very funny since I'm 31 years old. they were really chewed up, but there was this one issue. It was Batman number 190, so it was getting back there a ways. A big penguin on the cover. So when I got it out, I was so upset because it was an issue that I've seen before. It, in mint condition, it sells at $175. And this one had been torn up by a cat.
It
broke my heart. I went through and graded and priced all the books. And, I mean, like the ones that were salvageable to an extent. I think for a $5 bag of comics, it comes out to a value of about $63. So it was actually pretty a good day for me.
Yeah, you gotta hit those garage sales. People don't know what they have.
If you can find it, it's perfect. Whenever I have a garage sale, I always have a table of comics. But see, I've priced them, you know, at market value, so they're not like you're not gonna find a good buy at my place.
So. And that's why you still have all your comics, I'm sure.
I have a lot of them. I'll put some on Craigslist sometimes. Like, I have, like, I don't know, like the New Mutants. I don't read the New Mutants. It's not something I collect. But I've just over time and very inexpensively gotten, like, issues 1 through 30. So, like, I have a complete run for a while.
Nice.
So, like, I don't really care if I sell them, you know? So, it's just a nice thing. What power would you have?
I was thinking about it. And to me, I've always thought, like, powers of the occult. Not like Zatanna occult, but more like John Constantine occult. Mm-hmm. So knowing how to draw the magic and, you know, screw over the demon probably by sacrificing my friends. Like, it's an interesting storyline. I could live that.
Yeah, and John Constantine, kind of not a master of a particular occult, but a jack of all trades, you could say.
Exactly. Big fan of MacGyver.
Yeah, there you go. Very good. What's your superfluous question, Dustin?
I'm going to have to say, if you guys could choose one of the Ninja Turtles that embodies you the best, which one would it be?
The look of horror on my wife's face right now, it's palpable.
Does she not like the Ninja Turtles or something?
No, I don't know that she doesn't like. Obviously, I'm a very nerdy guy. She's around nerdy guys, and she she always has that look of fear, like, I'm going to be the woman who says, you know,
the wrong thing.
Exactly. Oh, I love Joe the Ninja Turtle. And everyone's going to look at her like,
I like that one, Scrappy Doo. Right?
Exactly.
Put him up. Well, answer the question.
I could probably tell you their names, but which weapons they use, I couldn't tell you that. And so that's why I had a scared look on my face.
Well, what's your favorite?
Because I like them, and I like their show. My favorite color? Yeah. Let's go purple.
Purple, so you're Donatello.
There's a purple one.
That's what we'll say. Cody, which Ninja Turtle would you be, sir?
Oh, I mean, everybody wants to be Michelangelo, kind of.
Oh, yeah,
That was always the way it was on the playground as a kid.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about me actually... probably a Leonardo, the guy who wants to lead but is kind of a dick, so irritates people when he leads. That's probably more in the vein of who I actually am.
Very
good answer. I like that.
Very honest. I appreciate that. Dustin, what's next?
Well, we brought up mutants a minute ago, didn't we?
Oh, we talked about Xavier.
Well, our next segment is Discount X-Men.
Okay, who do you got this week, Dustin? Who's your discount X-Man?
The two that I have today were brought up while we were drinking last night.
Okay.
And the two of them, one of them is Professor Nips, and the other one is the Possum.
Okay. Hang on. Okay, so last week I made up the character Apocanipse.
Uh-huh.
And I can't help but notice that you put Nips in the name of one of your guys, so let's hear this.
Well, see, Professor Nips, the thing about him is he's got mental abilities, but his mental ability is to instantly locate the nipples on any being so he could, like, go in for a serious titty twister. That's his one mental ability.
Oh my god. Thank you. Thank you so much.
I mean,
for that. That
that's pretty tough to do.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. You know, and, what's funny is the other character is the possum, and I believe possums have 18 nipples. Just saying.
They would be perfect as people who are fighting against each other. There's a term for that.
Yeah.
Opponent?
Enemies?
Yeah.
Well, you could do the Marvel team-up.
The Marvel team-up?
Yeah. You know, have them fight together.
There you go.
So, okay, what's the possum?
The possum is a man who, he has the ability to just, like, very, very believably play dead. Like, he just hits the ground and pretends to be dead.
Well, that's not exciting at
so,
all.
So, well,
no.
But that's why he's a discount act, man.
Do you know what, that possums have a gland like a skunk's that mm-hmm. secretes a dead smell when they play possum?
I guess we could probably throw that in.
And that ostensibly when they do play possum, they are actually in a coma.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it can be for like 30 minutes, like 4 hours.
Yeah.
I read the other day.
I'm so glad you read about possums. There's an early episode of Mad Chat on our network in which we had a possum in my backyard that I was feeding for like a year. His name was
Phil. Well.
And so I got very intensely interested for 10 minutes in possums. And they have a bifurcated penis. So they have two peni. Panies. They have two dicks.
So, I'm going to go ahead and just mention that this possum discount X-Men, he's got the same type of penis. Human body, bifurcated possum penis.
Bifurcated possum penis. I love it. And it's dipped in adamantium as well.
Mm-hmm. So he plays dead, has the smell, goes into a coma for 30 minutes.
And when he gets turned on and gets an erection, it goes snicked.
Oh, perfect. Let's end that segment on that.
Wow.
Next segment, uncircumcised comic book characters?
Yeah, uncircumcised comic characters. This is, again, a segment brought about by heavy drinking. and this is only like the fourth or fifth time we've done it. But Dustin, you and I went and saw a movie this weekend. What did we go see?
We saw The Man of Steel.
And what did we see in The Man of Steel?
Twice, we saw a baby's penis.
And that baby's penis was?
Uncircumcised.
So Clark Kent, Kal-El, Superman, is uncircumcised. Because when they put him in the ship to send him to Earth, he was uncircumcised. By the time he got here and it soaked in our radiation from the sun, pretty much you would need like a kryptonite scalpel to do it. So
that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. The Man of Steel is uncut.
Let's get ready to space, Doc.
that's awful. That's just fucking awful. Dustin, next segment, let's take a minute here and talk about the Star Wars Minute.
Ooh.
Today, we're going to talk about the early years of a gentleman by the name of Yoda.
Interesting.
Yeah, what do you know about Yoda, Dustin? And I'm sorry, here, Cody and Ambrose, let me explain since you don't listen to the show. Dustin doesn't know a whole lot about Star Wars, and I live, eat, and breathe it. So I try every week to educate him a little bit.
Sounds good.
I would like to hear. I'm not very educated on it either.
Well, very good. So, Dustin, what do you know of Yoda?
Yoda is a small yet agile old fella who trains... guys to be trains people with the Force to be Jedis.
Yes.
And beyond that, I don't know much more about him.
Talking he funny, has, he does.
Yeah, he has a funny voice. He's portrayed as Yogurt in Spaceballs by Mel Brooks.
Well, you know who does the voice of Yoda?
Who?
Frank Oz.
Oh, okay. I did know that.
That's Fozzie Bear and Miss Piggy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. I was on Reddit yesterday, two days ago.
There you go.
I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Well, Yoda, it's kind of fun. They in the expanded universe of over 160, you know, novels now, plus the comic series, they've explored the backgrounds of a lot of characters that weren't properly explained in the films. But Yoda's one of them that really is very rarely touched upon, to the point that his home world and his home species... is never named. And that was one of the that was like a what's the word I'm looking for a caveat by Lucasfilm. George Lucas loved, like, for him the films, like the film world, everything ends after episode 6. So the expanded universe, he allows it to happen, and they get final editorial processes. But, you know, he doesn't consider them to be, like, canon or in the storyline or anything like that. So he has always made it a point that he wants Yoda to always remain a mystery of his background. Definitely the species, you know, which is kind of interesting. I think in one novel there's been a female Yoda.
Really?
Yeah, like another member of that species, but it was never named. Okay, here's what I have written in front of me. Very little is known about Yoda's early life. He was from a remote planet, but one which remains a mystery. According to one legend, Yoda originally did not know that he was Force-sensitive at all. His path towards the Jedi began when he left his home planet with a human friend, who also did not know that he was Force-sensitive. They left on an old, barely space-worthy ship en route to the Core Worlds to seek employment. However, long before they could reach their destination, the ship was struck by a large asteroid, causing it to become severely disabled beyond their abilities to repair. They spent several days drifting dead in space, during which times both their life support systems and rations came close to being exhausted, and there was still no response to their distress signal. It seemed like they would soon meet their deaths until their sensors picked up a star system not too far away, and they had just enough power left to make it there, and did so before crash landing on a strange, swampy planet covered with a dense fog. What does that sound like? Dagobah! So they crashed on Dagobah. They spent a few days there before they were being found by a strange being, which is... I'm sorry, I'm going to mispronounce this. The being, the species is a High Salrian. And it was a Jedi Master, Nakata Del Gormo, who revealed to them both that they were very much Force-sensitive. The Jedi Master invited Yoda to become his apprentice, or Padawan, and Master Gormo took them to his home, where he trained them in the ways of the Force. And not long after their training was complete, a Galactic Republic starship picked up their distress signal and rescued the two friends, who are now Jedi themselves. Departing the world, Yoda would go on to Coruscant, where he would continue his training at the Jedi Temple as a Jedi Initiate. As time passed, he proved himself to be a skilled Jedi. Eventually, Yoda would pass the Gathering, which is like their final exam, and was assisted by the architect droid Hiang in the construction of his first lightsaber. And the High Salrian Jedi Master looks fucking wicked. If you can ever find a drawing of it, it's like a snake being. So it's a humanoid snake that's just fucking huge, and it has four arms. And I don't know, it's just fucking wicked. I love the way it looks.
So there's like a magic snake boat.
Yeah, there you go. So there's a little history of Mr. Yoda. His name was actually supposed to be Min Yoda, but they end up dropping the Min part when they were filming the movie and just named him Yoda, like Madonna or Sinbad. So. Anyway, that concludes the Star Wars Minute. Dustin, what's next?
I think... we're ready to move on into our verses today.
Okay, and what's the verses today, Dustin?
The verses today is kind of an unusual one. For some odd reason, I thought about the movie Tremors today, and I want to go with a graboid from Tremors, one of those digging earth monsters.
Yes.
And we spoke a little bit about it, tried to come up with someone who would be good against him, and I'm thinking Mario and Luigi.
Yeah. Mario and Luigi versus a Graboid. Cody and Ambrosia, are you familiar with Graboids?
I have watched the films, I think one time they showed them back to back to back in a hotel in England. And I'm pretty sure Ambrosia, who was with me, was unconscious at the time. I was laughing and enjoying myself, but I don't know how much of the film she actually saw.
Those
roofies hit her pretty hard, huh?
Exactly.
Those English roofies. Yeah. Good gravy. All right. What were you guys doing in England?
I studied abroad for 3 or 4 months in college, and she had come to visit me.
I study abroad quite often.
But
thank you. Thank you for the rim shot. Okay, so Ambrosia, just to help here, a Graboid is a, we'll say 25 foot long, probably 4 feet diameter, gigantic worm.
Okay.
It's an ancient life form. It's a Precambrian life form, so it's like from before the dinosaurs. It's completely subterranean. It has excellent hearing and sense of touch, but it's completely blind. And when it opens, it has a really weird like jaw to it, like the point where it's like split like a predator. So it kind of opens down and outward.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and then on the inside of its mouth, it has between 3 and 5 tongues that all have their own individual mouth.
Mm.
And they're like these little, they're like weird snake tongues. They can extend out from the body probably about 10 feet. And they're as thick as a man's arm. So they're pretty strong. They can grab you, pull you under, and eat you with no problem. And then what was the other? Oh, and then Mario and Luigi. You guys, everybody knows Mario and Luigi.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know who those are.
You liar!
You just kidding.
I'm just kidding.
You go home.
I do.
So we need a setting. So I'm going to roll the 20-sider here. And Dustin, you tell me what we've got.
Okay, I got it pulled up.
Okay, I got I rolled a 5.
The 5 would be the Evil Dead Cabin.
Okay. So good. I was worried that it would be like, you know, the Starship Enterprise or something where there's no dirt. So the cabin from the Evil Dead. Excellent. So
okay. And where the cabin from the Evil Dead is located in a forest.
Yeah.
Okay.
A forest, it's, you know, it's up in the mountains, so I guess technically the Graboid couldn't escape from the area to start with. But so Mario Brothers Plumbing Services were, you know, they got called out to a cabin. They're mm-hmm. down in the basement there, fixing the pipes amongst the Necronomicon and dead cats hanging from the ceiling, if you've seen the recent movie, the remake. And then bursting through the wall comes a 25-foot Graboid. What are the brothers going to do first, guys? What do you think? Because they're used to this kind of weird shit. For Christ's sake, they eat mushrooms.
I think the question is what suit are they wearing? Are they regular? Are they little? Are they big? Do they have fireballs?
Oh man, let's say. Oh god. All right.
Because a raccoon tail, the Graboid's done.
Why is that?
Oh, because they either fly, drop on. I mean, everything is defeated by jumping on a head. So.
Okay. I got a 4-sided dice here. If I roll a 1, it's a cape. If I roll a 2, it's frog suit. If I roll 3, it's fireballs. And if I roll 4, they're just regular guys.
All right.
And I got the 2. So they're in the frog suits.
They're just going to get destroyed.
They're going to get screwed. Fucking murdered.
Like, you, the frog suit only helps in the water world, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The frog is naturally a prey item of snakes.
Somebody used the wrong power.
Uh-oh. I'm okay, sorry, Mario.
Is there anything in the Evil Dead cabin? Sorry, I cut you off.
You're fine.
Is there anything in the Evil Dead cabin that would help them?
Like the Necronomicon, I guess. They can call forth the dead to rise and destroy the... But see, the dead are in their graves, so... Fucking Graboid's just gonna eat him.
Mm-hmm.
Then he'll become all undead.
Man.
Oh, that sucks.
Lame Mario and Luigi versus a Evil Dead Graboid.
So, okay, the frog suit, like when you were playing Super Mario Brothers 3 and they're in the frog suit and you were on land, they could jump extraordinarily high, higher than normal.
Mm.
And it was always like offsetting because they didn't walk from point A to point B, they hopped. Mm-hmm. So, like, I would imagine that they're in the frog suits, and they're very, discombobulated. Like, they don't know how to walk.
But, you know, that's going to be handy against a Graboid.
But they're in the fucking basement.
Oh, yeah.
So they're going to try to do their regular Mario jump onto the Graboid's head, and mm-hmm. they're going to crash through the first fucking floor of the cabin, and they're going to have concussions, and they're going to die.
Man.
That cabin was not built well. I mean, Graboid's just going to fly through that like it's paper.
I mean, that wasn't a cabin. That was termites holding hands. I can steal a line from the film Epic. So,
I think we got to say, a different place and time, different circumstances, maybe Mario and Luigi would be able to put up a fight. But in this case, It's the odds are stacked against him.
Yeah, I mean, like, in the movie Tremors, like, one of them gets stuck in a basement. You remember that? Like, it crashes through a basement wall.
Mm-hmm.
And they, because it's open, it's in open space, and it's a worm, you know, it can't, like, move forward anymore. Mm-hmm. So those people just shot it with guns until it died. So I'd imagine, like, if I would have rolled and they got the fireball, no problem, man. They would have fucking whacked the graboid.
Yeah.
But I got to imagine in a cramped basement, he's just going to use his fucking little snake tongues and grab them by the feet and pull them in and eat them. The end.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even a real basement either. It's more like a root cellar. So, I mean, it's all it was all dirt, at least in the first film.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, in the remake, too.
Just another one for the graboid.
Graboid wins. Usually these verses end up with an argument, and I'm calling you an asshole,
mm-hmm.
and... you know, it's like a point of contention at the end. Like, there's never a clear winner. But no, like, Graboid would fucking murder those two. Damn. Well, that doesn't make for compelling radio. Shit. I think I see something funny.
I remember one other time when there was a clear winner in a versus. And that's when we put Boba Fett against Punisher. Punisher would have destroyed him.
No, that's fucking... You're such a cock stain.
He could have taken him.
No, there's no, not fucking, not on Tatooine, not on Earth.
You didn't give him a chance. No, you didn't give him a chance.
He doesn't need a fucking chance, man. It's Boba Fett, dick.
Yeah, precisely.
I don't even want to fucking talk about this anymore.
Okay,
that was that was 6 months ago, you asshole.
And see how strongly I still believe in this?
No, fuck you. You just like getting under my skin.
Well, yeah, too.
Guys.
Space talking.
Gross. Fucking. Do you guys know what docking is?
Yeah, I went to a fraternity house. I've heard and seen most of what's on the internet.
Oh, my God. Okay, cool. Well, that answers that question. guys, you went to a very special place last weekend.
Correct.
Yes.
And you actually did the whole 4-day pass, didn't you?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Oh, that's so badass. Tell the listeners where you went here in the beautiful, scenic Indianapolis.
We went to Gen Con 2013.
Luckies.
It was fantastic.
So, if you would be so kind, take a moment or two here and explain to the listeners what Gen Con is, if they don't know.
Gen Con is the largest gathering in the world, I believe. Somebody's Googling it right now to prove me wrong. it is the largest gathering of gamers and games, particularly board games, but video games, a little bit of the comic book community, and it's just it's held in the convention center in downtown Indianapolis, which if you've never seen it is just massive. And it, like I said, I think how many did they say attended? Like almost.
Well, it brought in like $40 million to the city, but I don't remember how many attended.
That last year, the record-breaking was like 46-some thousand people, and that's just people who bought badges. That's not people who go. That's not people who show up to sell drugs on the side of the road. I mean, it's like it. Well, Indianapolis had the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl was here for 10 days, and I heard someone tell me that they made more money in the 4 days of Gen Con than they did for the 10, 12, 14 days leading up to the Super Bowl. So
wow.
It's unreal. It's absolutely massive.
I've always wanted to go, but I'm just honestly, I'm not the biggest gamer in the world. Dustin's a big nerd, though.
I want to go to a Gen Con so bad.
It's ridiculous, Dustin, that you just moved to Indianapolis and you didn't fucking go.
Well, what was I doing that day? I was recording podcasts.
No, you asshat.
It was Saturday. That's Saturday where we did the Rift Tracks.
Well, it runs
stuff.
Thursday through Sunday.
I'm a busy man. I've got things to do.
Yeah, right. okay, I'm sorry. You said drug dealers?
Well, I mean, the thing that's really interesting about the con is that it's never over. Like, it starts Wednesday. Like, there was an official beer tapping on Wednesday. I don't know if your listening community is primarily Indianapolis-based or not, so if I'm going through things that they already know, sorry. But the two local breweries, Sun King and what was it, the Ram, they tapped beers like the night before. So the party starts at like 5 o'clock on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And then it's not over till like 4:30 on Sunday. Like, it just goes straight on through. You can find events all night long. So you could just live in the convention center for, like, 4.5 days if you wanted to.
And that's pretty much good.
That's the thing about Gen Con. People really do almost live in the convention center.
Oh, yeah.
And there's not a whole lot of showers taken.
Oh, yeah.
There's a special aroma.
Well, and I went to a seminar. They talked about, like, this rule.
It was
3-2-1. You were supposed to get 3 meals a day.
No, what 3 hours of sleep.
3 hours of sleep, 2 meals a day, and 1 shower a day is what they were saying you should get. And most of those people did not get that.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You said board gaming? So, like,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like, Connect Four? Like, what?
Like, Catan, and we got a new one, Arena. But Catan was a big one.
No, well, Mayfair. You set a record with Catan, right, this year?
Yes.
Yeah, we were there.
We were part of it.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was awesome. There were 922 people all playing Catan at the same time.
And what? It wasn't just playing the game. It's everyone playing the exact same game, right? Everyone in that one game?
Yes. Yeah, they had, I don't know how, if you guys do supplemental materials or not, but after this, Matt, if you'll talk to Broja about the getting photos and stuff. She took a whole bunch of photos of Gen Con. But we got in one giant hall in the was it the Marriott or was it JW Marriott? One of the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
They used a whole ballroom and they just lined the room with tables. And what they had done is they had printed out maps. We were doing Seafarers, which if people don't know, Catan is kind of a resource building game, and you can with Seafarers you can build across. It's not just centered around the land. You can build water routes to other islands. Mm-hmm. And what they had done is they had done 3 maps, ABC. And so they laid them out across each table, ABC, 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 and they connected together the sea routes. So you were playing the person directly across from you. So you do all of one side table's turn, and then they had a 45-second timer, and then it was all of the other side of the table's turn. But all the maps interconnected, so you could get victory points by building onto someone else's map and trying to steal their resources.
Huh. Was there a lot of, like, Dungeons and Dragons-y type shit?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Quite a bit. I mean, Mayfair is a... As far as industries go, Wizards of the Coast... I first looked into going to this about, 7-8 years ago, which is when I think right about the time it first located in Indy. Mm-hmm. And back then, Wizards of the Coast was one of the largest backers of it. But Mayfair, who makes Catan and a lot of other popular board games, they've really become the push. So there's still a lot of true dungeon. They were demoing D&D 5. They were calling it Dungeons and Dragons Next. So you could go in and play the new rule set before it's even been printed yet.
Have you did you get to play a little bit of it?
I had hoped to. The real issue was I was trying to hook up with everyone in my D&D group.
Right.
And so I was like, oh, yeah, we'll sit down and we'll all play together. There's just so much stuff to do and so much time. Right. We never got to sit down and actually
do you think
do
that
it.
Is going to – sorry, do you think it's going to be any good?
I mean,
4 was a flop.
It's – to me, it seems like what they're trying to do is pull it back to 3-5. Like, I mean, they obviously, for anyone who's played it, D&D 4, they nerf the rules. It's nowhere, sir. Near as complex. I think they're trying to make it a little more complex, but that, like I said, they're trying to do what 3-5 should have been but was not, if that makes sense.
So they're basically beefing up 3-5.
Exactly.
Okay. I've heard a few good things about it. I'm looking forward to it. I think that they're actually asking a lot of the players. I received a few emails, and they're asking players to play test it and send in their thoughts and opinions on it. They're actually asking their audience how the game should go.
That's pretty cool.
That's a very interesting way to go about building something like that. That's why I think it's going to turn out pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it's really weird because if you know Paizo, which does Pathfinder, Paizo's presence was significant, and I was very surprised. They were probably there. I mean, you'd expect Wizards of the Coast to dominate this sort of thing, and with the exception of D&D 5 and True Dungeon, their presence was I mean, they were still one of the main sponsors, but it wasn't nearly as big as I would expect, whereas a smaller company like Paizo had a huge presence there.
Okay.
Wow. This is a lot of Greek to me.
Yes, I apologize. That's out of his element. Boom.
Yeah, no, what usually ends up happening on the show is that I know a lot about what we're talking about, and Dustin knows jack shit. And true, I berate him and make fun of him on a near constant basis. But like, we did an episode about Dungeons and Dragons, and we made a character for me and stuff. And, God, it was just the nerdiest fucking thing ever.
It's pretty nerdy.
I would like to make a point of clarification, though, here. And this is where Matt, if you want to ask questions from Broja, she goes into it being much less familiar to that. And while you would expect Gen Con to be 40,000 sweaty neckbeards, you know, wearing horrible clothing and dressed up as characters that they stay for 4 days, I was actually surprised that, you know, there were a lot of different people of different backgrounds, you know, male, female. It was actually much more diverse and a lot more, representative of the population than you would imagine.
Huh.
And that's one of the things we like to talk about on our show, or we like to bring out, is that everyone is a nerd in one way or another, and in society there are all different types of people that actually have the same types of interests, whether they're, you know, a lawyer or, you know, a factory worker, whatever. It's a very wide range of personalities that fall into it.
Well, yeah, I mean, a nerd is a person who finds a subject that they love, and they study everything about that subject that they can. So a jock is nothing more than a sports nerd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, everybody's a nerd about something.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, from a D&D perspective, have you ever read Dragonlance?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad. We're trying to do a Dragonlance episode, and I need somebody to be on, because I gave Dustin, like, the original Chronicles to read 6 months ago, and he hasn't even gotten, like, halfway through the first book yet.
Dude, you find those on audiobook, and I will be all over them.
They're on audiobook. Go to audible.com and download them. Shit.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Fucking A.
I would definitely be a part of that. If you're a Dragonlance fan, we also met on several occasions. Tracy Hickman was there. Yeah. He's a huge person there.
Oh, my God. That'd be so cool.
I got a signed copy of his latest book and got to shake his hand, and he has some neat stuff to share, and it's a great time.
That's so cool. Did you see any celebrities there?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Who all did we see? We saw...
You saw the Star Trek person.
Yeah, I took a picture of a really old guy. My wife wasn't sure who he was. We saw the original Chekhov.
Oh, okay.
Very there. Cool.
Will Wheaton was there.
We saw Will Wheaton.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The Wheaton.
We saw Neil Grayston.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about him.
Who's that?
He's from
Eureka.
Eureka.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Amazing show.
Fargo, the nerdy guy.
Yes.
He did a crossover on Warehouse 13, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I know who that guy is.
He's also on something else. You said he was also on...
I thought he did something on Big Bang, but I may not be right about that.
Eureka is almost over, isn't it? Is it done now, or are they going into their last season?
We haven't watched it in a while. We watched it on Netflix. That's how we even came to know about it, so...
Who else did we see? Tracy Hickman, for those who know Tracy Hickman.
Oh, yeah.
Who else? Peter Davison, who was an actor who played Doctor Who. We didn't see him, but he was there.
Okay.
And then, I'm gonna mess up her name. There was a woman who has an Indian name that I don't really know, but I recognize her. She was in.
What else?
No, she was in.
I don't remember what it said.
I'd have to look at her bio again, but she was in Arrow. She played one of the police officers in Arrow. She was also in True Blood. A couple of other nerdy things. But very dark complected, very pretty woman. We saw her from a distance as well. Because they wanted $30 for an autograph, and I'm not paying $30 for an autograph.
No.
Not for someone that you can't remember who the fuck it is.
Exactly.
So you said you have a D&D group?
Yes.
Because I have this friend who moved to Indianapolis a few months back, and he hasn't gotten it back into a D&D group. So if you have any openings, I know this guy Dustin that loves D&D. So just saying.
I'm kind of blushing right now.
to be fair, it's a Pathfinder group, not a Dustin or not a D&D group.
It's a Pathfinder group, not a Dustin group, guys.
No, not allowed.
But yeah, Pathfinder, it's close enough to 3.5 for me. I mean,
yeah, we're enjoying it quite a bit, actually.
Yeah,
good. That's super nerdy. I stopped playing role-playing games after Vampire the Masquerade.
Ooh.
I used to love that fucking game.
We saw one of the writers from Vampire the Masquerade.
Oh, yeah?
I don't know who it was. It's someone who works at Paizo now who makes Pathfinder. Oh, remember that guy, the thing we saw? Everyone really cares when I can't give any specifics. But there's a really funny guy who works for Paizo now as a chief editor who worked on Vampire, I believe. Anyway, he's a cool guy.
That's awesome. What? I'm told you guys dressed up.
Oh, we were going to.
Oh, no, you didn't?
No.
I tried to prepare her. Like, it's... You should really prepare for Gen Con, in my opinion. If you're going to do the four and a half days, whatever, you need to prepare, like, weeks in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going on, you know, some large vacation to a foreign country. Because that's kind of what it's like. And if you're going to dress up, like... plan it, because if you're like, oh, I'm going to throw this together at the last minute, you're going to look so terrible compared to guys who have been working on mechs yes. for like 8 months.
What was some of your favorite cosplay this year?
Well, I'm sorry, I just want to say that I love that you're talking about like having to prepare to go to the convention center. That's where my prom was.
Like, and it's like 20 minutes from our house.
No, really, like we took backpacks and it was intense.
Yeah, if you want tips on suggestions, we can definitely give those as well. But
you were intense.
I thought no. No.
Where did you sleep? You guys are weird. No. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of cosplay did you see?
Oh, lots. I have to put this one out there. I did a cosplay mashup for Con Bingo, and it was My Little Pony and Stormtroopers, and it was pretty awesome. And I actually won. Yeah, I won in that contest on Con Bingo. So they had lots of interesting ones.
Oh.
What were some of the realistic ones you saw?
Realistic?
Lots of superheroes. Yes. Lots of superheroes done
lots
fairly
of
well.
Doctors.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Doctor Who's huge.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that now that there's been, like, you know, whatever, 8 or 9 doctors. That, like, a friend of mine is such a Whovian, and when he goes to these things... He'll get a 3 or 4 day pass for something, and he will dress up as a different doctor each day.
Very cool.
I know, it's like you're the same character, but you're not. It's just funny.
And just since we're throwing out random Indianapolis facts, I'll throw this out here in case you guys don't know this: the largest Doctor Who collection of memorabilia outside of the UK is in Indianapolis.
Where at?
It's called Doctor Who North America.
You're like, it's called my basement.
No, it's but I want to say it's on the the southwest side of the city, maybe, like somewhere near the airport.
The southwest side.
But it's Doctor Who North America. They go to all the local things, and apparently they told me it's been a while, but if you get 5 or 6 people together who are actually going to buy things. Like, they'll take you through on, like, a tour and show you all this stuff, and you get to sit down and watch some Doctor Who episodes and have a whole event.
Well, there you go, Indianapolis listeners. That's something right there to check out. If you're a Whovian, check out Doctor Who North America.
Fantastic.
Because apparently it's right by my house. Because I live right by the airport. Fuck.
I'm trying to think of other, like, that we didn't see as much of.
Steampunk is huge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Corsets are huge. Just saying.
I thought the idea of a corset was that it was small.
Did you see a whole lot of steampunk and miscellaneous mashups?
Like
I have a Pinterest page.
Steampunk Superman?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've seen a couple of pretty good costumes that were steampunk Iron Man, and it actually turned out very well.
I saw Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say you can find them. I have a steampunk board on the Rancor's Brothel. Pinterest page.
God.
What?
I can't believe you still have that. I'm sorry.
I still do. Sorry. Go ahead, Ambrosia.
I took a picture of steampunk. Oh, goodness.
Steampunk Green Lantern.
Green Lantern. I don't know why I couldn't think of green, but Green Lantern. Which was pretty cool.
It just takes so much creativity.
Yes.
I was saying, his Green Lantern logo glowed, and yeah, it was impressive. Like, we stopped our group in the middle. We were on our way to do something, and I was like, get a picture of that man.
Yeah, I was creepy. I was, like, chasing him down the hallway. I was like, hey, can I get a picture? I chased him for, like, 7 minutes, I feel like.
Ambrosia, this is so funny, because I work with you, and you're just such a quiet person. You know, yes. And the idea of you running after a steampunk Green Lantern in the convention center is just hilarious to me. Oh, God.
It's something everyone in our group talked about, and it might be because the nerdy community is perhaps a little insular and, you know, not as outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Everyone was incredibly nice. Mm-hmm. Like, with the exception of maybe late Saturday or early Sunday, when the exhibitors have been there for 4 days selling their product to every schmo that walks by, they were just, you'd walk into people, oh, excuse me, do you know where this is? Or, you know, stuff like that. And they were just so nice and helpful. Oh, hey, would you like to see this game? Here, let's check out this game. What do you think? Let's play it. That kind of stuff. It was so, so great. The people were just fantastic.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good to hear. What kind of merch was for sale? Like, what kind of stuff could you buy at Gen Con?
Oh, lots of stuff. Like, it was huge. There was, what was that called? The exhibit hall? Exhibitors hall or something?
Yeah, if you've ever been to the convention center before, the exhibitors hall is like, oh, I can't even guess how many square feet that building is. It's massive. But they have a whole wing of the convention center. And don't get me wrong, the Gen Con takes up the entire convention center. Every room is assigned to something.
And buildings.
Oh, yeah, all the hotels surrounding, like, they take up everything. But the main exhibit hall there is just packed with T-shirt vendors, you know, all the game companies show up, people selling books, people selling, you know, what have you, like, anything that you can imagine. Yeah, there's
kilts.
Kilts, utilikilts. There we go. There's something for your viewers to show out. Utilikilts.
Utilikilt.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You've never heard of it?
I'm intrigued.
Is that for Scottish Batman?
More like Scottish Repairman.
Oh, my God. I can wear them to work.
Yeah.
Exactly.
They're cool.
Dustin's a cable guy.
There you go. Like, it's just a kilt with so many pockets.
Oh, my God.
I can already hear
you have just
Amazon account
made my day.
Like, you would just see people walking out with artwork. Yeah, professional artists are there. I mentioned Tracy Hickman before, you know, novelists. Just so many people just pitching games and selling games. It's insane. I can't explain it. It's just so big.
Little
just so I can put a frame of reference on this for myself, I'm an uber comic nerd. Were there comic books there at Gen Con?
If you're going there for comic books, you're going to probably be slightly disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like a comic book, you know, it's not like you're going to a comic book convention where everybody and their brother is going to be selling comic books.
Yeah. Clearly.
Now, I wouldn't say that it wasn't there. Like, we were there for 4 days, and the exhibit hall is big, but let's say it takes 15 minutes to walk all the way around it. We were going on Sunday, hitting it for the last time, and I was like going, oh, shit, I'd never seen that booth before. Hey, wait, where was this? Ambrosia took a picture on the first day of something, and on Sunday she's like, I want to buy that. And we walked up and down the halls. We couldn't find it. Like, there's so much stuff. It's insane. Now, if you are a comic book fan, what you can find is they also have a lot of seminars there. So, like, one of my buddies is really interested in comic book creation and stuff like that. You can go and listen to people who do artwork, people who have funded Kickstarters. You can go and listen to Paizo talk about how they create their latest adventures and whatnot. There's that running all throughout the convention, which is just fantastic as well.
Oh, cool. So there's a little bit of something there for everybody, it sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not just the gamers. I always thought, when I heard it was for gaming, I always thought it was video games for some reason.
No, not at all. Very, very little video gaming, actually.
Which is so funny, because it's like, I don't know why for years I thought that, and it's like, because we are the mecca of video games here. It's fucking Silicon Valley out here. So that was really naive of myself, I think. Sorry.
Actually, they even have, like, spouse events and stuff where you could go and just make crafts or go and make, really nerdy, but go and make, like, foam swords. Like, there were even, like, Gen Con bingo was just something I did, so I took pictures and...
Filled out a bingo card.
Yeah, there's, like, so much stuff that's not necessarily nerdy. You had to take pictures of nerdy things, but...
I mean, you.
There's so much stuff.
You have daycare services for kids.
Oh my God! I mean,
there are kid events only. There are also after 10 o'clock at night. There are adult only events as well. The whole city. Like we walked to Scotty's, which if anyone knows downtown Indianapolis geography, Scotty's is what 8-9 blocks from the convention center.
Yeah.
And Paizo bought out Scotty's or whatever because it was all full of Pathfinder stuff. They changed their menu for Pathfinder. You would get a special D6 that said Gen Con, Scotty's Brew House, or whatever each time you ordered off the Pathfinder menu. Like, the whole city just lives it up.
You guys are just making me feel worse and worse for not being there.
Honestly, I will probably want to go every year.
Oh, man, my heart is sinking right now.
Now, I would like to point out that I was terrified to go to this with my wife because I thought there would be nothing that she would enjoy. I mean, my wife is I'm training her to be a nerdy person, but the fact that she is quote unquote one of the normals and she had this much fun, like, I think anyone who goes would have so much fun.
It would be so cool to go.
They even had seminars, like what Cody was talking about, where you go to creating comics and the Pathfinder stuff. They had one even on depression, like gamers in depression, like, or gamers with depression and how they continue to make games and work in that industry with depression and how they handled it, which I found really interesting. So they just have so much stuff, like, that's not even really necessarily nerdy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. So there's I was flipping through some fun facts here on it's geekdad.com. But one of the interesting facts that came up was this year, Gen Con overlapped with the Indianapolis Motorcycle Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
That had to have been such an interesting dynamic in Indianapolis. You have a bunch of hard ass, like, leather wearing bikers, and then you have your nerdier group that are a lot like us.
Right.
Why, your motorcycle is lovely, sir.
I like your D20.
I love that Dustin is a motorcycle riding D&D player. That cracks me up now.
So is Cody.
I was say it's not as uncommon as you would think. Actually, our DM is a motorcycle riding
lawyer
D&D player. So,
oh my goodness, I'm gonna have to get some phone numbers.
Very good.
No, but it I think that's the thing that a lot of people don't realize about Indianapolis is, like, this weekend, was it last? I don't know what day is today. Today's Sunday. It was this weekend. Was like the largest convention of female Baptist practitioners in Indianapolis. They're like 50,000 extra women in the city downtown doing conventions. That's the great thing about Indy. You have no idea. We had the MotoGP. We had one of the largest. We had the largest theater festival that we have all year, and we have Gen Con all at the same time. So we're talking about maybe 60,000 to 80,000 extra people in the city. You have no idea. I mean, you walk downtown, you're like, man, there are a lot of bikes, and this is really weird, but, like, it's not stopping traffic, it's not being awful, it's just, it's fantastic, it's cool.
We had a Star Wars con quite a few years back, and I was in driver's ed at the time, and the guy had me drive downtown to practice on one-way streets, and I didn't know Star Wars con was going on, and I'm just driving around, like, and he's, you know, he's on his side, but he's got his little brake pedal and shit. And there's, like, a Chewbacca just walking down the sidewalk. Like, what the fuck?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You had was it Meridian? Meridian is just lined with bikes, so it looks like Sturgis. And then you have, like, you know, people dressed up as, you know, Pokemon characters walking up and down, looking at all the bikes, waving to the bikers.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And everybody got along. That's what's cool about Indy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the motorcyclists, they're just motorcycle nerds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Don't call them that to their face. I mean, I watch Sons of Anarchy. I know what goes on, but...
Yeah, we had one of those moments actually driving home. It was nuts.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I forgot about that. That was scary.
What's that?
Like, I think we were in the middle of a high-speed chase, like literally. I'm not making it up. Yeah, we were heading north on 65 because we live on the northwest side. I got passed on the on-ramp for 65 by two motorcyclists who used the shoulder. And after I got up on 65, this SUV from behind me came roaring up, you know, flew three lanes across to the inside and started chasing these motorcyclists. And I was driving, so I wanted to see what was going on. So I started following them at a high rate of speed. And, like, these guys just kept, like, splitting around semis and trying to lose this SUV. And this SUV started driving nuts. And then they turned off down 38th Street. And I'm like, we're going to see this on the news tomorrow.
Which we didn't, but.
That's still awesome. That's fucking cool, man.
I was scared for their lives, though.
Oh, God. Ambrosia, Cody, thank you so much for being on the show today and being our voice at Gen Con. Hopefully next year we can actually go and record from Gen Con. That's the plan.
That'll be fun.
Sweet.
So maybe we can hook up with y'all since you'll have your 4-day passes, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Say, look into it. I know that they host people. They do seminars where they do podcasts. Like, it's – you got to plan early, but it's fantastic. There's That's so awesome. Much to do.
That is so awesome.
Maybe we can park our pierogi truck down there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry, Ambrosia. I'm going to quit my job. We're going to get a pierogi food truck. Sell pierogi.
Oh, yeah, they had a lot of food trucks there too.
Three full streets of food trucks.
Oh my god, Dustin, we can make a killing, dude. Natalie's making pierogies really tomorrow, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah. I do want to say, friend of the show, Chris Cannery, was at Gen Con and he put a picture up on Facebook. He'd just kind of taken a selfie with some friends, and behind him, somebody had dressed up as Where's Waldo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. I have one of those.
And was peeking over Chris's shoulder. And so you just saw the head with, like, the red and white cap. And then, like, his hand waving with a little bit of the red, white striped sleeve. Very funny.
Was it on – did he do it for Gen Con – for Con Bingo? I saw a picture kind of like that. We had actually – square one was Where's Waldo. And I saw – maybe it's your friend.
Who knows?
Did you describe Con Bingo exactly what that was?
It was, we just got a bingo card, and it had, like, squares. I don't remember all the squares, but, like, square one was Where's Waldo. There was Whedonverse characters. There was also, like, cutest brony of the con. There was.
So how did you actually play the game?
You took pictures of, like, Where's Waldo, whatever square you wanted, and then you would upload them onto Facebook, and then after it was over, which it ended on Saturday at 2 a.m., so Sunday at 2 a.m., technically.
Yeah.
And then the people who put it on chose which pictures they liked the best for each category, so there was, like, 30 categories. And mine ended up, they ended up liking my category for cosplay mashup.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much it, though. You just take pictures. Card.
That's cool.
It's way more interesting than I thought it would be. I just when you said Con Bingo originally, I just pictured a bunch of, like, sweaty guys in a in a room, you know, and they're calling out numbers, and that's what I thought bingo was. But that's
very,
very interesting.
Wrong.
Yeah, way
like,
wrong.
Asshole.
We could spend hours and hours just detailing this stuff because it's so big. Like, people are like, "What'd you do at Gen Con?" It's like, "Do you have 6 hours? Because it's going to take me that long to describe it all."
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
and actually,
really cool.
With Con Bingo, like, they even gave prizes for the best in category. So I will be getting, hopefully they weren't lying, but I will be getting Cards Against Humanity for winning in a category.
Oh,
so,
my God. We are playing that. We're having a live event this upcoming Sunday for our station's flagship show, Mad Chat. And we're going to play Cards Against Humanity on the show. I love that game.
Oh, it's a good game. That'll be fun to listen to.
It's apparently pretty hard to get Cards Against Humanity these days, isn't it?
Well, they only produce so many in a quarter.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
They also sell independently, like Pandemic and some of these other games that went viral because of online communities like this, mm-hmm. a lot of times they sell out to the first corporate buyer who's going to write them, you know, mm-hmm. a 6 or 7 figure check. I think, if I'm correct, Cards Against Humanity is hard to get a hold of because they're still self-producing. They're trying to...
They do a lot through Kickstarter.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. And they're very
that's
small.
Where, that's where my brother-in-law, Chad, our CEO of Follow Networks, that's where he got his. The best card ever is... Ambrosia, you've seen my son.
Yes.
And do you remember me telling him to be a sorcerer, and he makes a weird face and does the thing with his hands?
No, I don't remember
okay,
that.
I had him do it at a couple meetings. That stems from the card, I'm a motherfucking sorcerer.
Oh.
Which is, I want that tattooed on me. That's my favorite fucking card ever. God. I'm a motherfucking sorcerer! What?
They have expansions for that now. They
yeah,
had that.
No, they have like
the Gen Con.
4. And actually, Kevin Smith wrote an expansion pack.
Really?
Yeah, for them.
Hmm.
So that's kind of cool.
There's
a holiday one. Say what?
I said, correct me if I'm wrong, but they don't do brick and mortar, right? It's all online.
Oh, yeah,
it's all online.
They'll announce in advance when they're going to release, say they made 1,000 sets, and they'll mm-hmm. announce when they're going to release it on Amazon, and that's where you go.
Right.
Buy it. So.
Yeah, they keep a lid on that. I think they're trying to make it, rather than making the quick 100 grand or whatever, I think they're really trying to build it into, you know, a company and get up there.
And for those of you that don't know what it is, it's like the game Apples to Apples. You played that card game, except instead of just stupid cards, they're horrible cards. Like
yes.
Like, you know, you put down a card that says the president made a healthcare plan because, and the next one will be like Super AIDS. Okay, just mm-hmm. really random shit. But they're all very dirty and very funny. A lot of, like, there's rape cards and there's drug cards, and it's just dirty. It's so much
fun. So play 2 or play 3 is really fun, where you have to play multiple cards.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
That's fun.
It led to a discussion where I had to explain to my wife what pixelated Japanese bukkake was.
How do
you
not know what that is, Ambrosia?
I don't know. I guess I'm not dirty. I don't
Your childhood must have been so boring. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Childhood? What?
And on that note, guys, I think we're going to close out another episode here at the Rancor's Brothel. Please check out our sponsor, TKOVapor.com. Use the offer code Rancor for 25% off at checkout. That's an e-cigarette company. I'm smoking it right now. My breath is better. You know, I don't get winded as easily during sex. It's really wonderful. My sense of taste is back, which is why I'm getting fatter. That's kind of a downside. But it gets you off the tobacco habit. So if you or someone you love is smoking tobacco, it's a great way to get them off the tobacco habit, let them still feel like they're smoking and getting the nicotine that their body craves. Help them out. Go to www.tkovapor.com. Use that code Rancor. What's the next thing I say, Dustin? Our intro music is from Starseed. You can get that their music at www.freemusicarchive.com or .org/music/Starseed. We thank them for their participation in the show. You can also check out all of our Follow Networks podcasts at www.followthe.tv, or you can just go type Follow Networks into iTunes. We're all the fuck over it. So, yeah. Give us a 5-star rating and review the show, and let us know that you love it. Or let us know if you hate it. Fuck it, I don't care. Any PR is good PR, goddammit. Dustin.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, here's your stupid joke, right? Oh, and thank you, Ambrosia and Cody, for being on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
No problem.
And we're going to have you on for the Dragonlance episode because Dustin sucks.
Sweet.
I don't suck.
You do.
Suck. Hey, what's Superman's greatest weakness?
I don't know.
A bucking horse.
What? That's not even a joke. What the fuck was
It'll
the punchline, you dick?
It'll come to you.
A bucking horse.
Keep thinking.
I'm thinking. What's Super... Oh, my God. Christopher Reeves?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Wow.
God, that should be on Cards Against Humanity.
See, just saying. Yeah.
Dustin.
It's bad.
You should be ashamed of yourself. Why are you still laughing? You fucking terrible. Dick.
Ha 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 ha